Welcome again to our listeners. In this podcast episode, we'll be talking to Professor Avishai Wohl, AlgoSec co-founder and CTO, about hybrid cloud security. Welcome, Avishai. How are you?
I'm great. Hello, everybody.
You know, Avishai, there's a lot of mention of the term hybrid cloud. Can you explain what hybrid cloud actually is?
Well, hybrid cloud is really the situation that pretty much all large enterprises today are in, where they have an on-premise environment that they've built over many years, multiple data centers in all kinds of places. And they also have estates in the public cloud. One or more of the public cloud providers are being used, and the combination of an on-premise estate with one or more cloud environments together constitute a hybrid cloud environment.
So what does network security mean in the hybrid cloud environment?
Well, network security means lots of different things in a hybrid cloud environment, but probably the biggest issue is to get complete visibility of the whole estate and not in islands. If you want to secure your network, it's not good enough to secure your on-premise environment and separately to secure your cloud environment, because then you're only seeing part of the picture each time. You need to be able to get security and visibility of the security on both or all parts at the same time.
Now, typically organizations have a DevSecOps team handling cloud security, but do you think that should suffice?
Well, DevSecOps is clearly crucial, but I don't think it suffices. DevSecOps have visibility and control over what's happening inside the cloud, but communication is hardly ever just inside the cloud. Pretty much all business applications have either servers or clients that are outside of the cloud, and this communication needs to be secured when it enters and leaves the cloud, and those controls are not necessarily part of the domain of influence of the people in the DevSecOps teams. Certainly when you do an audit, that's not good enough. You cannot just audit what's happening in the cloud and ignore the fact that the communication enters and leaves the cloud. There needs to be involvement by other team members, people that control the operations of network security outside of the cloud and in other cloud vendors, etc. And there are additional processes and there are additional requirements that have to be coordinated carefully with the DevSecOps people so that the organization gets security holistically.
It seems that organizations are constantly looking to strike a perfect balance between the need for automation versus the need for oversight. How do you think they should go about it?
Well, the best is really finding the way to have your cake and eat it too. So on one hand, you want to have automation in the DevOps style, infrastructure as code, and that potentially could also include deploying security controls automatically and so forth. But the risk is that if you have all the control on the operational side and there's not enough oversight, then mistakes or poor judgment could lead to insecurities. And that's where the checks and balances come in, where you want your information security professionals that are not in charge of the actual operations to be able to have oversight. It used to be that when you introduce those kinds of controls, you slow everything down because you can't just deploy automatic updates to security policy. You have to get approvals and that takes time and oversight and record keeping and so forth. And then everything slows down and you don't want that. The trick is really to find a way to provide the information security teams with the visibility and the oversight and the audit capabilities and the ability to say no if something needs to be rejected while not slowing down the normal state of affairs where the requests are all reasonable and the changes are all necessary. So all these more of the same quote unquote requests should go through without stopping for a human review. And all the automation should keep the track of the audits and do all the record keeping for future analysis. And what you should strive for is that like 95% of changes happen completely automatically and as quickly as you possibly can. And only those 5% of changes that require some human decision-making actually pull in the person into the loop.
In your conversations with customers, are you finding any different attitudes between the cloud security team and the on-premise team?
Absolutely. There's some tensions and history and miscommunications between the cloud security teams and the on-premise security teams. And part of that is history, because as clouds got deployed, we had a lot of what was called shadow IT. So the developers and DevOps teams basically built out their applications with little or no oversight. And they got used to doing that, and they can deploy very quickly and so on. But once these applications become production applications that the business really relies on, and all of a sudden you have requirements for regulatory compliance and avoiding risk and tracking changes and all these other things that information security teams have been struggling with for many, many years, you have a clash of cultures. And it takes some getting used to on both sides, because you know the InfoSec teams used to work in a regimented, sometimes slow process that involved multiple steps and approvals and so on. And that's not really acceptable anymore in a cloud type of environment. And the flip side is that the DevOps teams used to be working in a regulation-free environment, basically do whatever you want. And sometimes they get a nasty surprise when the grown-ups want them to get serious. So this sometimes causes tensions and requires management intervention and guidance, and sometimes hard decisions need to be made.
We know the move to the cloud can be quite a security project in itself. So how do organizations deal with securing migration to the cloud projects?
Migration is a big topic. And I'd say there's two flavors of migration that need to be thought about. They're not the same. The one is when you're doing a greenfield migration. So basically, you're rolling out a brand new application, hasn't been done before. You're starting from a clean slate. You can do whatever you want. So definitely, you need to have the security considerations done in the beginning, baked into the processes, and then you're building something new and secure, and everybody is aware, and there's no issue. So that's one style of migration. The other style of migration is what is sometimes called lift and shift, where you actually have an application that's been around for a while, and it's been deployed in a data center somewhere, and now you want to move it to a cloud environment. That is sometimes more challenging because these applications were not built with cloud in mind, and then when you migrate them, they might not fit. And maybe there are some security assumptions that are implicit in the design of the application as it was, and these assumptions suddenly become invalid without anybody noticing them, and then you can get exposed to risks. And you can also have operational issues, all kinds of protection mechanisms that you used to have for granted in a data center, because there are all of these extra layers protecting your servers from the bad guys out there. All of a sudden, they disappear when you move your server and make it into a virtual instance in a public cloud. You need to think about all these extra things and protect them. Such as, imagine, storage, right? If you have a database that's local to your environment, usually there is no direct access to a database over the internet. It has to go through some computer. If you're in the cloud, that's no longer true. If you have an environment in a public cloud, the database is actually a separate system, and it is potentially accessible independently of the code. It can be accessed directly through the internet if you don't take the right measures. And so this is something for you to worry about.
Lastly, how can organizations ensure their cloud security policy reflects the structure of their business applications?
That's a multifaceted question. I think it's really important to map the business logic and the structure of the application and the ownership of the application into the networking structure of the cloud estate. And this could be done in multiple different ways. At the minimum, break up your environment into what Amazon calls VPCs or Microsoft calls virtual networks. Put each application in its own. You can have many of these. You can have multiple subnets. So don't skimp. Use all these networking constructs to organizationally and from a networking point of view, segregate your applications to different areas in the cloud. That way you can deploy network controls to protect each of them and segment your cloud estate. But it's not only that. Cloud providers have very rich tagging capabilities. You can associate tags to pretty much any asset that you have in the cloud. And that could be an instance, a Lambda function, a database, a security group, all kinds of things. You can tag them with labels or tags of your choice. And I think that's a great thing to do. It's really, really helpful. And you can use tagging to tag all kinds of different dimensions. So you can tag systems based on their operating system. You can tag things based on the business unit that they support. You can tag things based on the geographical area that they serve. All kinds of different tags. You don't have to choose. You can define many of them. And that really goes a long way to helping you find all the resources and assets that belong to something. And in particular, going back to applications, if you have a business application that does, I don't know, foreign exchange trading, it's a very good idea to tag every single asset, every single resource, every single database, every single Lambda function that has to do with foreign exchange trading with a label or tag that reflects it. And then you have a record. If you're looking at something, you can find out what it's for. And if you want to find all the things that support a particular application, you can. So remember that there is this tagging functionality available to you, and make intelligent use of it. You'll be thankful when you go into production with these things. It will really help you out.
That will do it for today's episode. I want to thank Avishai for joining us again, as well as our listeners out there. It's a pleasure gaining Avishai's insights on hybrid cloud security. Please stay tuned for our next podcast episode.
Thanks. Bye-bye, everybody.